Morning, church. My name is Austin Lovelace, and it really is an honor and a privilege for me to have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you this morning. I just feel so blessed every time I have this opportunity. So I would like to start just by inviting the Holy Spirit and taking a moment to pray as we get ready to read the Word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the truth that it speaks into our lives. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear your truth this morning. And God, may we receive with open arms just the words that you have for us, Lord. And I pray that you would motivate us, God, and inspire us to go from this place and live as changed people, God, changed because of the sacrifice you made for us. God, we thank you for being our healer, God, and for being our Savior. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So there's this man, his name was Andy, and he was the pastor of a faithful church congregation. He had a wife who adored him, and his two sons who were daily inspired by him. Andy had just about everything a man in ministry could have wanted. His congregation was ever-growing, and he had formed some of his closest friendships through his pastoral ministry. However, his life was not all perfect. You see, Andy, ever since he was a young man, had struggled with lust, and he had over the years formed an addiction to pornography. And he kept this to himself and he had buried it away. And over the years, the addiction only grew worse. And he kept falling into his sin nature. And like many of us as believers, Andy did not want to remain this way. He wanted to be changed, but he just couldn't break free. His struggle brought him to the point where eventually, he found himself in an adulterous relationship. So here's Andy, a man who's broken, wanting to be healed, but just seems to have hit rock bottom instead. Many of us can relate to Andy's story. Now, I know that not all of us may be struggling with an addictive behavior or a sinful nature, but all of us, at some point in our lives, find a place where we need healing. Perhaps the healing that we need or desire comes from a physical nature. We have an illness or an ailment that prevents us from doing the work that we desperately want to do. Perhaps the healing is of an emotional kind. Suffer from the loss of a loved one, a friend, or a family member. Just the grief that we feel, the emotional pain that we feel is just too much for us to bear. We want healing, but it doesn't seem to come. For some of us, it may be of a financial or provisional nature. We have certain needs that just have to be met. We give to God, or we feel like we're doing well with our money, but still the finances, we just find that we're not getting our needs met. We want healing in this way. We want provision, but it doesn't always seem to come. Now, for some of us, it may certainly be an addictive behavior or just a sin nature that we find ourselves falling into. We really want to break free, and we want to experience all that God has for us in our lives, but we can't seem to break free from this sin nature. We want healing, but it doesn't seem to come. So what do we do when we find ourselves at this point? We're in need of healing, and God, who is our great healer, is so ready to provide it for us. Yet it doesn't seem to come sometimes. And why is that? Well, I think the scripture tells us that sometimes we find that there's a barrier between us and God. And this barrier is our own self-perception of who we are. You see, here we are, and here's Christ. And our perception and who we are and the things we want to accomplish in life, that can get in the way of us and Christ. Take, for example, those of us that might find ourselves in leadership positions. Some of us may have significant roles within the church or within our workplace. We are leaders within our own families. Now, for us to humble ourselves and admit that we need healing in our lives, that would be humiliating. It would be shaming to our title. It would be embarrassing to who we are as leaders. Now, for some of us, it may be just the opposite of that. We find that we feel like we've done too much in our lives to deserve healing from God. We're weighed down by the guilt of what we've done. We don't think God would want to heal us, so why even bother? We feel unworthy, if you will. So, how do we break this barrier? What do we do to find the healing that Christ so desperately wants us to have? I think the answer is found in Scripture. So if you would turn with me to Mark chapter 5, that's where we're going to see how we can break this barrier. So I'm going to provide a little bit of background to Mark chapter 5 here. So what's happened is that prior to this, Jesus has been teaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. He's been telling the people that the kingdom of God is coming, and he's been telling all of these parables to illustrate it. And so people, more and more people are showing up to hear Jesus' stories, and he is becoming more popular as a teacher. Crowds and crowds of people are starting to follow him to hear his stories and hear what he has to say about the kingdom of God. So here we are, Jesus and his disciples have just crossed over the lake. And we start in verse 21 of chapter 5 in Mark. It says, "When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live.' So Jesus went with him." So you see, here we've met a man named Jairus. And Jesus is surrounded this crowd of people, and this man named Jairus approached him. Now, Scripture tells us that Jairus was a synagogue leader, which means that he was a man of religious authority within the community. So having said this, it's important to consider that many people in this crowd are from this community and probably recognized Jairus. See, Jairus' role of prominence made him above Jesus. You see, Jesus was never given an official religious rank. He was simply a popular teacher. So for someone like Jairus, a man of respect, one who had a leadership title, a leadership role within his community, it would have been somewhat shaming to his title to fall down at the feet of Jesus and ask for healing for his daughter. Let's keep this in mind as we continue reading in verse 24. "A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse." So here we meet the second character in our story, this bleeding woman. Now, there are two things that we need to take note of when we consider this woman. One is that in Jewish society, in ancient Jewish culture at this time, women really did not have much status on the social ladder. They were, quite frankly, their role was to be neither seen nor heard. That was just how the ancient Jewish culture was at the time. And so, having considered this, we must also take note that she has an ailment. She has an illness, which, by Jewish law, required this woman to be an outcast from society. The Jewish law required that because of her illness, she was not to interact with people or be around anyone, obviously besides the doctors that she was consulting. So here, we have the stage set for us in this story. We have Jairus, a man of respect, one who is likely well recognized within the community. And we have this bleeding woman who is an outcast, really nobody worthy of mention. Now we notice that both of these people are in great need of healing. And so what do they do? So let's see the woman in verse 27. "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, 'If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.' Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, 'Who touched my clothes?' You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. So the woman's response, she knows she's in need of healing, and she knows that Jesus is here. So what does she do? This woman, this outcast from society, she reaches out to Jesus, and she's healed. She falls at his feet. And Jesus, who finds out about this woman, and as she falls at his feet, he says the words to her that those of us in healing, that need healing, so desperately long to hear. He says, go in peace and be freed from your suffering. But we still have not seen the healing from Jairus, for Jairus' daughter. So let's continue on in verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, do not be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. And he put them all out. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know this and told them to give her something to eat. So all this time, since Jairus asked Jesus to heal his daughter, Jairus has been following Jesus around through the crowd this entire time. Because of Jairus' faithfulness, because he was willing to be seen with Jesus, following him through the crowd, Jesus honors Jairus' humility. And he heals his daughter. Even in the midst of the worst news, being told that his daughter is dead, Jesus commands life back into Jairus' daughter. And he's healed. And she's healed. So, what is it? What did these two people do? You see, Jairus, a man of respect, he fell at Jesus' feet and he humbled himself before Christ, asking for healing. And this bleeding woman reached out to Christ and fell at his feet. And both of them were healed. You see, God wants to heal us. He so desperately wants us to live a life that glorifies him. And just like a great parent, he doesn't want us to have to suffer through unnecessary pain. So it's in those moments that we should seek healing. And we should break down the barrier by falling at the feet of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your healing power. And just the comfort that you are able to provide for us. God, we ask that you would just give us humble hearts as we go about our lives and seek out the healing that we so desperately need. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. Now I finish with this story. I mentioned Andy. Thankfully, his story does not end with a man in a broken relationship. You see, Andy, this man in a leadership position, he realized that he needed healing, and so he fell at the feet of Jesus. He confessed before his wife and his children what he had done, confessed before his church congregation, and God honored that. God brought healing into his life, and he was restored. Now, this wasn't easy for Andy. He had to step down from being a pastor at his church. Him and his wife had to go through months of marital counseling. His reputation with his sons had been tainted now because of his mistake. But through it all, I can reassure you that Andy is standing before a new congregation with his wife and kids right by his side. A healed man. I tell you this with full confidence because the story of Andy is the story of my father. So I know that the healing power of Christ is a very real thing when we decide to fall at the feet of Jesus.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.